الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ما بعد. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we ask Allah to exalt and mention and grant peace and send his salutations and blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We heard the surah we heard tonight, they have an underlying theme that is common. It is common in the last ajza' of the Quran, the element of admonishment. The surah were revealed primarily in Mecca, trying to prove to the disbelievers the fallacies of rejecting Allah and His oneness and associating partners with Him. And there are a lot of reminders that have to do with the life to come and the matters of life and death, the description of Yawm al-Qiyamah. But I wanted to highlight one particular ayah and everything connected to it. Of course, this is when we stop looking at the camera and we focus on the talk. Because the distraction in the son of Adam is amazing. I mean, we've had this habit since classroom in school and it continues until you die. Something walks by, everybody looks at this thing going, coming back. Khalas, whatever is being said of the reminder, right out the window. While in fact, we should focus, not because it's me, wallahi, anybody who's reminding you of the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salam deserves attention. What the brother's doing with the camera, putting it, removing it, charging it, uncharging it, what benefit is going to bring on Yawm al-Qiyamah? Nothing. I might say one thing that will change your life. You may say one thing that will change my life. Common sense, inshaAllah. Ala kulli hal. The ayah is in Surah Nuh. مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرْجُونَ لِلَّهِ. Who can continue the ayah? Even that part we don't have memorized? Waqara. Do you know what that means? It's okay if you don't. It's okay if you don't. Waqar has to do with respect, veneration, reverence. What is the ayah actually says, what is the matter with you? You don't show Allah His due respect. Due as in D-U-E, what He is entitled to. When you have money that is due, meaning you have to pay it, not D-O, the verb. What is the matter with you? You don't show Allah the due respect. This is an address that affects or is given to the non-Muslims and the Muslims alike. And the way we want to connect it with the other ayat has to do with our choice of words when we speak about Allah Azza wa Jalla. You will find that the best people who spoke about Allah in the best manner possible were the prophets. The prophets always attributed anything bad to themselves or to nothing and anything good to Allah. We have many examples from the Quran. The first example is Yusuf alayhi salam. We know that when Yusuf entered the prison, was it by the permission of Allah? Is it part of the qadr of Allah? Yes or no? Yes. Can you technically say Allah put him in prison? Yes, technically speaking. Because you don't go anywhere, nothing happens illa ayyasha Allah. Therefore, Allah willed it. Allah decreed it. It's part of the plan of Yusuf specifically. Yet when he was taken out of prison, he said, and he's mentioned in the favors of Allah, he said, وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي. My Lord has treated me well as He took me out of prison after the shaitan had instigated between me and my brothers. So he only attributed the release from prison to Allah. And he didn't attribute the entrance of prison to Allah, even though Allah is the one who put him in prison and Allah is the one who took him out of prison. But when you speak about Allah, you only highlight the positive and you attribute all other things which may be negative, not to Allah. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, وَالشَّرُّ لَيْسَ إِلَيْكَ أَوْ لَا يُنْسَبُ إِلَيْكَ. Evil is not attributed to Allah. We know that Allah created الْخَيْرُ وَالشَّرُّ. But we don't attribute evil to Allah Azza wa Jal. Similarly, Ibrahim says, when he was mentioned in the favors of Allah, he said, وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. When I become sick, it is He who cures me. But does he become sick without Allah's will? No, it's technically Allah who made him sick, and then Allah who healed him. However, he said, if I become sick, okay, it's my problem. It is not something that I will attribute to Allah. It is He who cures me. In Surah Al-Jinn, the ayah says, وَلَا نَدْرِي أَشَرٌ أُرِيدَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَمْ أَرَادَ بِهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ رَشَدًا. We don't know whether evil is intended for the people on earth or their Lord intends guidance for them. They didn't say we don't know whether their Lord wants evil for them or He wants guidance. No, the first time, we just shar. It could be intended for them. They didn't attribute that to Allah. Even though these jinn had heard the Quran for the first time. They heard the Quran, they were affected by the message, and they became propagators. Some people misuse this ayah to suggest that all you have to do is read some Quran and the next thing you do is you start giving lectures. We say time out. That does not mean now you have a green light to be discussing matters of the deen that you're not qualified to discuss. However, the message of Tawheed is something that every Muslim should be able to discuss. If I sit with a Hindu or a Buddhist or a Christian, I don't know how to explain Islam, we will say, okay, no problem, time out. Let's discuss your Islam, Habibi. How sound is your Islam? If you're having a hard time explaining to someone Tawheed, meaning you don't know Tawheed. It's a very simple thing. If you know 2 plus 2 equals 4, and then you say, but I don't know how to explain it to someone, we say, then you don't know. You probably don't know. If you know, how difficult is it to say 2 plus 2 equals 4? Doesn't require a lot of intelligence. It's common sense. Tawheed is common sense. Worship Allah alone. What kind of justification do you need for that? Therefore, we need to question our understanding of Tawheed if we say we don't know how to communicate it. So that's why every Muslim is by default a da'i, a caller to Allah. The minimum, the basic, the bare minimum. The advanced matters require qualification, require learning, so that you can elaborate on them accordingly. So this is the theme. I'm saying this because I receive weird emails and weird messages on WhatsApp from people, wherein we wind up attributing to Allah that which doesn't befit His Majesty. For example, there's this person who sends me these frequent emails, and believe it or not, the email will say, yesterday, Allah allowed my right nostril to open up so I can breathe. I mean, what is that supposed to mean? Subhanallah. Are you going to now, of course Allah is the one allows you to go to the bathroom and get out of the bathroom. Are you going to attribute every little event of this nature to Allah? It's inappropriate. It is inappropriate to mention the name of Allah in certain contexts where Allah's greatness is being undermined. This is what Allahu Akbar means. Allah is the greatest, is greater than these little conversations which we have. So certain things which we use casually, wherein we are minimizing or undermining Allah's greatness, is something that we need to abandon completely, inshaAllah ta'ala. Surah Al-Insan and Surah Al-Qiyamah are both one of the most profound surah in the Quran in terms of reminding us about the rights of Allah and our obligation towards the life to come. And if you're interested in hearing them in English with the tafsir, there are two lectures on YouTube titled The Resurrection and The Human. When you type on YouTube The Resurrection, put my name next to it, Wajdi, W-A-J-D-I, or Abu Mus'ab, so you can get that lecture. Because it's important that we actually be familiar with these surah, just in case we hear them again or we read them again from now until next Ramadan, we at least know what's being said. And if Allah allows us to live till next Ramadan and we live this moment again, at least you know the gravity of some of these ayat which we heard that we usually don't give the necessary attention to. Lastly, I wanted to discuss a phenomenon that has become, I guess it gets worse every year, and that has to do with the greetings of Eid before Eid. Okay? You want to greet people for Eid, Jazakallahu khayran. But to send a message 4 days before Eid, that say, before you get busy, before you have so many messages, before everyone, I would like to tell you, Happy Eid. Look, ya Habibi, we're the 27th night of Ramadan. If someone was sick in the hospital on their deathbed, do you go to his family and say, Lillahi ma akhad wa lahu ma ata? You're giving him condolences. Why? And he's going to die in a few days. I'm going to give you the aza and condolences right now. Say, Akhi, are you crazy? The man is still alive. We haven't reached the moment upon which this condolences becomes valid. Or someone hasn't graduated from school, you already congratulate them for graduating. They haven't done the final exam yet. What if they fail? And so this idea of people want to be hasty to start greeting for Eid before Eid comes is nonsensical. And it's all because we have these smartphones and WhatsApp and all this that made it so easy. When it cost money, when it was SMS, you received, you know, way less. People actually wait until Eid. Now that it's free, broadcast, mashallah, tabarakallah, message to 250 people, greeting them for Eid 2 days before Eid. The Salaf, the Sahaba, after Salatul Eid, after we prayed Eid and we celebrated, when they saw each other, they would say, Taqabbalallahu minna wa minkum. After Eid. Anything before Eid is too early. So don't think it's cute or it's intelligent or you're doing something ultra special by sending it early. Same thing goes for the person who sends it a week later. We're already at the end of Shawwal. He says, I know you were busy reading other messages, so now I know you have the focus and the peace of mind. Happy Eid. Ya Habibi, khalas, it's almost next Ramadan. You're still extending belated Eid for 2 weeks after Eid. That doesn't fly either. And lastly, forwarded messages. If you want to forward a message, be smart enough to change the signature. When you know Brother Abdullah sends you an Eid greeting that says Muhammad at the bottom, and you say, who's Muhammad? Say, Wallah, I'm sorry, I received it from Muhammad, I forwarded it to you. Ya akhi, khalasna ba. What is this joke, man? Either you have something from your heart to share, or spare us. Spare us all these forward people, forward messages in bulk. No, I mean, again, there's common sense, certain etiquettes, certain, be genuine. Wallah, the best dua is the one that you personalize from your heart. Either personalize the dua for the people that matter to you, or spare the people from just forwarding flyers and posters and messages. You don't even know what the content is. You don't even know if the content is sound or not. Our deen is not about these type of behaviors that are done heedlessly. It's an act of worship. Even Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh is a very vast dua that has to come from the heart. It's an actual dua you make for your brother, giving him salam. Not just something that we casually say without thinking about the meaning and the intents behind it. So, I mean, it takes some thinking and going against the grain. I know the culture and the way we are programmed is difficult, you know. If you don't move with everybody, they think something is wrong. But we control things. If we make a change within our society, then we can have a bigger change with a bigger impact in the future for all the Muslims. So I hope and pray, inshallah, that this Eid, you will at least wait until you have finished Salatul Eid before you start sharing your Eid greetings with those whom you love. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us among those who listen to the reminder and follow the best of it. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد. جزاكم الله خير.